Good day, everyone. Welcome to episode 3 of the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Your host today, Marty Jones, and I wanted to be sure to thank Don Richmond, as always, for our music, the intro and outro, and to thank Daniel Boyce for the bird songs that we use as we go from one segment to another. On today's episode, we're joined by Craig Cotton, Division 3 Water Engineer for the Colorado Department of Water Resources. Quite frankly, no one knows the Upper Rio Grande Basin like Craig does. Craig grew up in the San Luis Valley, graduated from Monte Vista High School, and then went off to Fort Collins and got a degree in civil engineering. He's been down here as the Division 3 Water Engineer for, let's just say, more than a couple of years, shall we? And in addition to serving as the Division 3 Water Engineer, he's also the State of Colorado's Engineer Advisor for the Rio Grande Compact. So welcome, Craig. Thanks for joining us on the Outdoor Citizen.
Thanks for having me.
So I wonder if you could tell us, kind of bring us up to date on water here in the valley. In particular, snow levels have changed in the last couple of months.
Yeah, you know, everybody in the valley knows that water is a very important topic and something very important that touches all aspects of the San Luis Valley and the people here in the valley. We're actually looking at a decent year this year so far. We've got about 120% of average on our snowpack. In the Sangre de Cristos, we're a little bit lower than that. We're about 90% in the Sangre de Cristos, 120% in the San Juans. And so averages of about 107% basin wide. And, fairly good for us for this time of year. Our March and April are our biggest snowpack months, and so we're going to have to wait and see how those play out. We could go up and get a lot of snow in that time period, or we could not get much snow and go down. So we're really hoping that we continue with that good snowpack.
And I know that it's difficult to make any sorts of accurate prognostications, other than long-term averages and things of that sort. But what are some of the factors that affect how runoff is going to occur?
You know, one of the biggest factors is the wind, and we're starting to see the wind right now. It's springtime in the San Luis Valley, and we have that wind. Now, that wind can really take a toll on our snowpack. It can blow a lot of that snow away and sublimate it and make it evaporate. It can also bring in a lot of dust. And when we have dust settling on the snowpack, that increases the amount of solar radiation that snowpack can receive, and it causes it to melt earlier, causes it to run off faster, and maybe not get as much benefit as we typically would from that snowpack. So we're really hoping that we don't have a whole lot of wind this spring.
And unfortunately, it's not just wind in the San Luis Valley, but winds that are quite a ways to our south and west that also impact how our snowpack is going to melt out.
Right, it is. It's that snow in Arizona, or that wind, excuse me, in Arizona, that really can cause some issues up here too.
So, Craig, can you comment on the snowtell sites in terms of location and elevation, and how are we doing in terms of both high elevation snowpack as well as middle and lower elevation snowpack?
Sure. So we rely heavily on what are called snowtell sites, and those are automated sites around the San Luis Valley, but we've only got about 10 or so of those sites around the San Luis Valley right now. And those are, like I said, automated sites, and they track the snowpack and how much water we have in that snow. And then they provide us that information every day. And so we have a good idea of the snowpack at those locations. But unfortunately, maybe a mile away, the snowpack could be totally different. And so that's where we've really struggled over the years, is trying to determine the entire valley snowpack based on those 10 to 12 sites. And so we're looking at other options to really increase our accuracy of streamflow predictions based on the snowpack that we have. And so we've got several things that we're doing right now. One that we did several years ago, you know, we were involved in, is putting the radar here in the city of Alamosa. And that actually was to allow us to see the snow as it's falling and determine where it's falling in the San Luis Valley. And that really helps us. So the current snowtail sites are usually at higher elevations. They're usually at least 10,000 to 11,000 feet in elevation. So a lot of times they don't get the low snowpack. And that's really a detriment to when we try to do those streamflow forecasts as well.
You know, I wonder, is there an effort currently underway to try to increase the number of snowtail sites?
There is, yeah. So we've been working here in the San Luis Valley. Several people, Nathan Combs with the Caneos Conservancy District, Heather Dutton, Cleve Simpson, have been working on trying to get more snowtail sites here. And different kinds of snowtail sites, maybe ones that are a little bit easier to put in. And so we've been doing that. We've got some put in on the Caneo system, and we're looking at putting in some others throughout the San Luis Valley.
Of the 10 to 12 snowtail sites that are currently up and operating, what percentage of them are in the San Juans versus the Sangres?
There are several more in the San Juans than the Sangre de Cristos, but it's close. It's probably 60-40 or something as far as percentage. So the Sangre de Cristos have a fairly good number, and actually we've got several here in the San Luis Valley, but we've also got some that are just over the tops of the mountains in the Sangres, and they're in the Arkansas River drainage. But we can kind of look at those too and make some determination as to what snowpack they have on that side of the mountain, and it should be fairly close to what we have over here.
With respect to the snowtail sites and accurate measurements to increase the accuracy of runoff forecasts, is there any opportunity for citizen science to participate? I know there's lots of outdoor enthusiasts who go cross-country skiing and backcountry skiing, hopefully in a safe fashion. Any chance that folks like us could go out and do some measurements for you and report back to give you more data?
That's an interesting idea, and one that I actually had never thought of. The state of Colorado has a program that where people take rainfall measurements and some other things and then report that back, but we don't have something on snowfall, and so that's that would be an interesting thing to maybe explore a little bit into the future. We do take people's anecdotal information because of the lack of snowtails, of a large amount of snowtail sites throughout the basin. We do take people's observations when they go up into the mountains, and they'll let us know what the snowpack looks like, especially those lower elevations. And so, and we kind of add all of that into when we try to do our streamflow predictions as well.
I know that there's been a fair amount of conversation just recently out in the state of California about the record snowfalls that they've been getting and how that might ease the drought that they're in. Is there any indication that this year's snowfall is going to help ease the drought in the San Luis Valley also?
Yeah, you know, the last 3 years we've been below average on our stream flows. 2019 was a really good year for us. Had good high stream flows, but since then it's been below average and significantly below average. We're really hoping that this year is at least going to be a little bit above average. It'll help to get some stream flow into the aquifers, build those aquifers back up. And so we're really hoping that this will be a decent year. It right now, it doesn't look like it's going to be a huge year, but even if we can get to average or a little bit above average, it's going to be better than it has been.
You know, water is such an important feature of the San Luis Valley for many things. For certainly of primary importance is the water's impact on agriculture. But there's a lot of outdoor enthusiasts who depend upon water in the rivers and the lakes for boating, for fishing, in wetlands areas for birding and so on. What do you see as the general outlook for this year on the water for outdoor recreational opportunities?
Yeah, so in the rivers and streams, we should have a fairly good year. It's always good when we have that amount of snowpack, and that snowpack relates to our stream flows usually. And so we are looking at a decent stream flow in most areas. Like I said, the Sangre de Cristos are a little bit less than average right now. And so we're really hoping that they'll be able to get some snow, some good snows these coming few months and have that that stream flow come back up. But the streams in the San Juans, the Rio Grande and the Canoas and others are actually looking fairly good. Now, as far as our reservoirs and getting those filled up, that's really a function of the wintertime, because that's usually when the reservoirs fill up, is in the wintertime. And so our reservoirs aren't doing terribly bad overall, but they're definitely not anywhere close to being full on average. And so that'll take several years. But one of the things too on our reservoirs is that they're used for irrigation mainly. And if we have actual stream flows to be used for that irrigation, sometimes the irrigators will keep that water kind of in reserve in their reservoirs and carry it over to the next year. So if we can have a good year of stream flows, that should help our reservoirs as well.
And the additional water stored in the reservoirs also has been beneficial for helping to augment the flows in September, October, and through the winter. I know that's been very important on the Canoas River to have a little bit more water in Platoro Reservoir so that the fish can survive through the winter.
Right. That's a program that's been kind of spearheaded by Trout Unlimited and Kevin Terry with Trout Unlimited, and he's done a really good job of trying to get everybody to the table and ensure that when we release water from a reservoir, for instance, it's not only used for its main primary purpose, but maybe it's got some secondary beneficial uses, such as fish. And so if it's going to be released for irrigation, for instance, if we can retime that a little bit and where it's a benefit to the fish too, we can get multiple benefits out of that water and really help the entire system. And so that's a really good thing, I think, that, and Kevin's doing a great job on that. And we've really got a good team of people, irrigators, administrators that are working on that to try to get those multiple benefits.
Greg, your office is doing pretty remarkable work with, let's just say, limited resources, probably not as many engineers and professionals out in the field as you'd really like to have. But thanks for all the hard work that you've done and your entire team has been doing. I noticed that you brought some information with you. Is there anything that you would like to specifically mention before we wrap things up?
You know, we always have a lot of things going on here with water in the San Luis Valley. And, you know, there's things that you can see from snowpack and stream flows and then kind of things behind the scenes. We've got a lot of water court cases in water court right now that that are fairly involved and can have a big impact on where we go in water administration and water use here in the San Luis Valley. We've got a 5-week trial, for instance, starting in July on one of those cases. And so lots of things like that that are really going to potentially have an impact on the direction that we go with water here in the San Luis Valley. And we're really watching that as far as my office goes and trying to ensure that current uses are protected and that we don't have a big change in how we administer and how we operate here in the San Luis Valley.
Great. As we wrap things up, I wonder, Craig, if you would mind giving a website information for people who wish to, let's say, check the latest stream forecast or what the rivers around the area are flowing, what the stream flow is.
Sure. So our main website for the Division of Water Resources is fairly simple. It's water.state.co.us. And you can get most of the information that you would need off of that, information on wells. If you have a well and you want to look it up and find out how deep the well is, for instance, or how much it can flow, you can look on that website. You can also find stream flow information on that website. And we've got over 60 gauging stations on streams and rivers here in the San Luis Valley. So pretty much any stream or river that you want to know the flow on, you can go there and look that up. So, and information on well drilling and dam safety and all of that information can be found on that website.
And if you've never looked at those before, I can tell you that the graphs, which you can get on the stream flows, are really very interesting because you can see the daily fluctuations, especially this time of year when the rivers are freezing at night and thawing during the day and see the increase in flow and then the decrease in flow and so on. It's really fascinating. If you haven't gone there, website once more, please.
Sure. water.state.co.us.
All right. I encourage you to take a look at that. This is Marty Jones with the Outdoor Citizen. Our guest today has been Craig Cotton, the Division 3 Water Engineer for the Colorado Department of Water Resources. Offices are located in Alamosa on Murphy, and they don't have a closed door. You can walk in and actually talk to them.
That's right.
So thank you very much, Craig. Appreciate you coming by and letting us know the state of water here in the San Luis Valley.
Thank you, Marty.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Outdoor Citizen. We'll be right back with some current outdoor conditions.
Hey, this is Patrick Ortiz with San Luis Valley Great Outdoors. As a feature of Revitalize the Rio and Park RX, we are excited to announce the spring and summer program. We have developed and scheduled a weekly public group walk at your community park to occur in Alamosa, Buena Vista, and Del Norte on Tuesdays during the spring months of March and April. We will increase the frequency and have alternate times for the public walks in the months of May through September. Please ask your primary care physician or behavioral health specialist about a nature prescription for more information.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. We're going to give you a little bit about outdoor conditions. Guess what, folks? It's springtime in the San Luis Valley. That means that we have some wanted guests showing up, sandhill cranes, and we have the unwanted guest that seems to come every year as well, and that's the wind. Great numbers of sandhill cranes are stopping by to relax and feed up, fuel up on their migration path. We'll have an update on this weekend's 40th annual Monte Vista Crane Festival later in the show. The winds have certainly intense this past Sunday. Regional Weather Station reported an early afternoon maximum wind gust of 64 miles per hour in Alamosa County. And just this morning, the National Weather Service issued a red flag fire warning and fire weather watch warning for Tuesday and Wednesday. The alert is valley-wide. Wind speeds are coming from the southwest at speeds of 20 to 30 miles per hour. Wind gusts are expected to be around 45 miles per hour. The wind and the shine is in stark contrast to February snowstorms, which left behind some great spring ski conditions. Here are the most recent numbers from our local ski areas. Wolf Creek ski area has received 26 inches of snow over the past week. They're 100% open with 9 of 10 lifts operational. Wolf Creek is once again proving it has the most snow in Colorado with 130-inch summit depth and a season total of 356 inches. The rest of the week will be windy and partly cloudy with a chance of patchy blowing snow during the end of the week. Monarch Mountain has received 4 inches of snow over the past week. They're 100% open with 5 of 7 lifts operational. Monarch is reporting a 54-inch base and 202 inches of snow for the season total. Monarch will be seeing much of the same weather as Wolf Creek, with a partly cloudy and windy week and a chance of that patchy blowing snow during the late week. Taos Ski Valley will have a much better weather outlook during the week with more sun and less wind. It'll still be breezy, though. Snow is likely this weekend. As far as fresh snow goes, Taos has received about 8 inches this past week. They're reporting a 71-inch summit depth. If you're still looking to get out on a pair of skinny skis before all the snow melts, here are the most recent grooming reports. Big Meadows was groomed with track set on March 3rd. In Rock Creek, the trails into the meadow and the meadow itself were groomed with some track set on March 2nd. The Telemark Hill was groomed while the upper trails on the hillside did not get groomed. That's courtesy of the San Juan Nordic Club. Chama Ski Trails were groomed on March 3rd. Grooming for the season will wrap up on March 12th. The Upper Rio Grande Nordic Ski Club Trails, Six Mile Flats, Deep Creek, Ivy, and Lime Creek were all groomed on March 3rd. According to the Colorado Avalanche Information Center, on February 25th, two backcountry tourers and a snowmobiler were killed in two separate avalanches in the South San Juan Mountains. James Sutton of Durango and Jurgen Montgomery of Pagosa Springs were buried and killed in an avalanche near Vallecito Reservoir, west of Pagosa Springs. Snowmobiler Kevin Gray of Antonito was buried and killed in an avalanche on La Manga Pass near the Red Lakes trailhead. Our thoughts go out to their friends and families, and our thanks go out to all the volunteers and first responders who were able to bring them home. Today, avalanche danger is moderate in the South San Juans. Wind-drifted snow has been a driving factor for increased danger. The Colorado Avalanche Information Center, CAIC, says the most dangerous areas for travel are northerly and easterly slopes near and above treeline. They've also advised backcountry tourists to look for and avoid slopes where you see cracking, stiff surface snow, fresh cornice growth, lens-shaped pillows of snow, or sculpted features, all of which indicate more dangerous wind-drifted areas. Wind-sheltered slopes less than 30 degrees without steeper terrain directly overhead offer safer options. The next significant snowfall for the South San Juan should arrive Friday night, March 10th. Colorado backcountry avalanche conditions are updated every evening at 4:30 p.m. For the full forecast details and more, go to .co.us. In just a minute, we'll transition to outdoor news.
The Valley Calendar is the most comprehensive listing of events, putting all the Valley events in one place. To submit your event to the Valley Calendar, go to alamosacitizen.com. Click on the Valley Calendar link and fill out the online form. Or you can send an email to info@alamosacitizen.com with your event information. It's the Valley Calendar on alamosacitizen.com. All the Valley events in one place.
Spring is here, which means it's nearing that time to get outside and outdoors. Although I know many of you winter enthusiasts have been outdoors and outside all winter as well. While the days get a little longer and the air just a little warmer, here are some news items to get you in the outdoor mood. Alamosa's Cattails Golf Course opened for the season on Saturday, March 4th. Its new resident restaurant, Nienacker's Grill, is also open in the clubhouse. Fishing licenses for the 2023-2024 season are now available. Colorado residents and non-residents can purchase their fishing license at any of the local CPW offices, at one of many authorized retailers around the state, or online at cpwshop.com/licensing.page. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will be conducting prescribed burns this spring on the Alamosa, Baca, and Monte Vista National Wildlife Refuges to remove old matted vegetation to improve wildlife habitat. Professional fire personnel from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Mid Plains Fire Zone and state and federal partners will conduct the burns. The exact burn dates will depend upon weather conditions and other prescription requirements. Target dates start mid-March but may extend through mid-April. Watch for those. Colorado Parks and Wildlife is now accepting applications for the 2023 Colorado Big Game Primary Draw. The deadline to submit applications is April 4th at 8 p.m. Changes in fees can be reviewed in the 2023 Big Game Hunting Brochure. Over in neighboring Gunnison, Colorado Parks and Wildlife officials have concluded the second year of the Western Slope Mountain Lion Density Study. The purpose of the study is to tag and GPS collar Gunnison area mountain lions to learn more about their populations. During this study, they've been able to collar 35 lions and track their hunting patterns, home areas, and movements. These collars were able to help CPW officers locate the mountain lion that died of highly pathogenic avian flu in January. They said without the collar sending a mortality signal, they may never have found the animal. More information on the study can be found on alamosacitizen.com. And coming up, just very briefly, a calendar of events. As we noted during the opening, the 40th annual Monte Vista Crane Festival is this weekend, Friday the 10th of March through Sunday the 12th of March. The Crane Festival typically draws 18,000 to 20,000 visitors, largely from the Front Range and northern New Mexico. This year's event has some extra specialness given it is the 40th annual event. On Saturday, there's a premiere of the short documentary Where the Cranes Meet the Mountains by filmmaker Christy Bodie Sky. The premiere is at the Sky High Complex, and tickets are available at mvcranefest.org. Also, March 11th, in the town of San Luis, is the 11th annual Congreso de Acequias, hosted by the Sangre de Cristo Acequia Association. The Congreso is a vibrant gathering of acequia and community members from across the San Luis Valley. The event includes special workshops relevant to acequia users and flood irrigators. Workshop topics include talks on how to preserve and improve the health of your soil, opportunities to enhance acequia infrastructure and wildlife habitat, and how to legally protect your water rights. The Congreso is free and open to all. And watch your calendars. April 22nd, The Alamosa National Wildlife Refuge is having a volunteer day to improve riparian areas and sections of the Malm Trail in Alamosa. Coming up quickly will be the third annual Valley Bottom Rio Trio that's happening May 27th. The race is done right on the Rio Grande in Alamosa. And this year's race features an 8-mile trail bike ride, a 3-mile river paddle, and a 5K run. You can find information registration information at rioraces.com. And we're going to have more on the Outdoor Citizen about the Rio Trio later on this spring. That ends this episode of the Outdoor Citizen. Be sure to join us next time when we talk to Kathy Fawes from the Great Sand Dunes National Park and visit Alamosa about the upcoming We Love Our National Parks festivities in April. Until then, thanks for listening and enjoy the outdoors.